ministry in churches and just helping people to connect with their destiny and what God, the fullness of what God has called them to in their lives. And you can see there my beautiful wife, Camille. She's a worship artist, a songwriter. You can follow her on Spotify because I get a commission for every follow on Spotify. No, I don't. Maybe a peck on the cheek, I don't know. But Lois is here, and she said she listens to Camille on Spotify every day because of the lyrics, just ministering to her. So we have the privilege very often of ministering together. And then you can see there are three very handsome sons. And I have good news today. Two out of three of them are still available. So anyways, so if anyone wants to come back with me for Thanksgiving lunch, no, I'm just kidding. But we are, Mom and I are always scouting and praying for their future wives. So that's great. Privileged to be here. And I just want to start by sharing what is something that is probably common to all of you being in small town Saskatchewan. Who here knows what doing laps is? Is anybody? Oh yeah, there's hands going up. Yes. Yes, maybe some of you did laps before church. I don't know. But usually on a Friday or Saturday night, in the town that I grew up in, it was a small town in northeastern Saskatchewan, on a Friday or Saturday night, all the young people are very bored. And there's, you can't like go to big games, or there isn't like massive theaters you can go to, and all those different things. So they made up their own fun, probably like what happens in Rosetown. And their job was to just look as cool as possible when they're driving around town. Doing laps around in our town is like the four main blocks of the town. And just looking as cool as possible, you know, the windows are down, the music's playing loud, the wind is blowing through your hair, because we used to have hair. And we would just drive around town, and we just thought this was the coolest thing to do in life. And you'd go by, and then you'd be back again literally in 1 minute, just doing cool waves. And then you go to the gas station, then you're back again, and then again. And then again. And there was a guy in our town that took it to another level. And he had a 1969 Chevy Camaro. Blue metallic paint. Nice stereo system. He also had perfect hair and a perfect mustache. And he would drive around our town. And us younger guys would look at him and think, wow, you know, this guy, he can do laps like no one. He'd go around town. He'd just hope that he'd do a cool wave to you, or he'd flash his mustache at you as he went down. And we just thought this guy had really arrived in life, because what he had done was he had taken his cue from the culture, the subculture around him, and in that subculture, doing laps was awesome. It really made you feel like you mattered, you were doing something significant, and he did that better than anyone else did. But then we realized, wait a minute, he's just going around in circles, he's just doing laps. He's not really going anywhere. His life isn't really connected to what really matters. He's just doing laps. So what we want to do this morning is we just want to have a little reminder about what really matters, what is really significant, what is really eternal. And we want to lean in close to the heart of Jesus, and we want to hear the heart of Jesus beating. And we want to ask Jesus, Jesus, what does your heart beat for? What really matters? What should my life really be connected to? Because we want to connect our hearts to the heartbeat of the culture of heaven, not the culture around us, right? And so will you do me a favor this morning? Some people need a good Sunday morning smile. So will you turn to a couple of people sitting around you and just tell them, just give them that smile and tell them, don't just do laps. So go ahead, tell a couple of people around you, don't just do laps. That's awesome. If you have to do laps, that's okay, but don't just do laps. And so we're going to lean in close to the heart of Jesus. And one of the things that in this season during a global pandemic where a lot of people have had maybe the hardest year they've had in a long time, I can say that about ourselves, that this is in many ways the hardest year we've had in a long time. Why am I out and about talking to people about mission? Because, I mean, it's for some people, they've gone along and life has been kind of normal, but for others, it's been really, really difficult. But as the people of God, we continue to talk about and think about mission and what our purpose and what our destiny is and the impact that we can have. And one of the stories that really helps me with that, before we jump into the scripture, is a story of my friend who one day he was kind of tricked into investing all of his life savings, and this person walked away with all of his life savings. He had to go home to his wife, and he had to say, "Honey, how was your day?" "My day was great. I lost all of our life savings." And it was devastating for them. It was devastating because of their finances, but also devastating on their marriage. And he went through this really dark experience. But I remember that he came to the church that we were serving at, and it happened to be a Compassion Sunday, kind of like this morning. And he's sitting there and he's thinking, well, this isn't for me because I'm going through all my stuff. And this is the most difficult thing I've ever experienced before. And his wife didn't necessarily want to be with him that much. And she didn't really want to go to church with him even. And he's sitting there in church thinking, this isn't for me. And then the person says, you know, this is an opportunity for you to release a child from poverty in Jesus' name. And he's kind of tuning out. But then he feels like God speaks to him and God says, this is how I will restore you. And he's thinking, I don't get it, God, because I'm in deep trouble right now. And, but you know, being that you are God and all, he has a really funny personality. He gets kind of angry. He stomps to the table, which was at the back, sponsors a boy, sponsors a girl, drives home angry from church. This is just kind of a unique relationship he has with God. So I did it. And then he comes back a few weeks later, and there was a mistake in scheduling, and there was another Compassion presentation. And he's sitting there in the church, and he goes, oh, no. And he feels like God's saying to him, was that the best you could do? Just one boy and one girl? He gets angry at God at the end of the service, true story, doesn't know how he's going to do this, sponsors five more boys, five more girls, drives home a little bit more angry, doesn't know God's economics, and he's just struggling with this, but he started to realize, okay, God's restoring things in my life. And he goes to work with joy. He was really annoying. I did some projects with him, and he had so much joy, I kind of got upset with him, because he's like, how is it physically possible that you could have this happiness in your life during this season? And he just believed that God was restoring him. He went home at night and sat in the sauna, wrote letters to all of his sponsored kids to encourage them and lift them up. Fast forward 2 years later, he is restored in his life. All of his finances are restored. His marriage is restored. True story. And within 2 years, it happened. And so I just want to encourage you that God is, yeah, he's into restoration, but we as God's people, we never stop thinking about mission. We never stop thinking about our purpose. And this guy just became driven to just change as many kids' lives as he could. And that was part of the way that he survived that season. So even though this can be a difficult season for many of us, I still want to call all of us. I want to call myself close to the heart of Jesus and just say, Jesus, what is your heart beating for? What can be awesome about this season? So we just want to look briefly at three different groups of people that are close to the heart of Jesus. So first, we're going to look at the lost. And I'm going to ask you, if you'll read Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 out loud with me. Can we do that together? Let's read this together. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I just love how the heart of Jesus beats for lost people who don't know him, who've maybe not yet had the opportunity to give their lives to him and to be made into a new creation and to discover what they're on earth for. Jesus came seeking out and saving people who were lost, disconnected from the Father, not knowing where they would spend eternity. And he wants people from every nation and tribe and tongue to know his healing, his restoration, his goodness, and his kindness in their lives. He's relentless in going after people who are lost. And I can remember growing up in a non-Christian family and just, again, taking our cue from the students in our high school that were older than us, and they would say, try this, do this, experiment with this, and whatever they said that we should try or do, we do almost anything to try to find life, because I didn't know what my purpose was. I didn't know why I was on earth. And everything that we tried would just leave us feeling more empty and more satisfied and wanting to figure this out more and more. It's not a good thing to be in a state of being lost and not knowing Jesus and literally having your life degraded and diminished as you just are looking for things and experimenting with things and where to find life. Jesus doesn't want anyone to have to stay in that kind of position. He wants everyone to have an opportunity to know him and to be reconciled to the Father. On the next slide, you'll see a picture of a little girl. Her nickname is Kat. She's sitting on that motorbike in Thailand right in front of her dad with a little plaid dress. And as you know, growing up in the nation of Thailand, there's very little opportunity for people to come to know Jesus because there's very few followers of Jesus in the whole country. Very few. And so her and her whole family were lost. She was also living in poverty. And there's layers of, I was about to say dangerousness. We'll just go with that. It's dangerous for a young girl to grow up in some of these parts of the world where if the family doesn't know Jesus and they don't know their value and their worth and they're also struggling with poverty, very often little girls especially get sold into slavery. And so this girl was in danger, but we had the opportunity to sponsor her through Compassion as a family and to write her letters, encourage her and affirm her in her journey. And as she goes to the Compassion Center every day, she hears about Jesus. She's drawn to Jesus because she's saying, you're saying I matter to God? I'm in. And she gives her life to Jesus. She starts to grow and develop in her gifts. She becomes a worship leader at the Compassion Center. And she gets vocational training. She graduates out of the program. And then we get a letter from the director of the program saying, you might not have known this, but not only did Kat come to know Jesus, also her whole family came to know Jesus. They're all found because that little girl came to know Jesus. And that's a normal story in the ministry of Compassion. We know that every 4 minutes, a child is coming to know Jesus through the ministry of Compassion. Every 4 minutes, through the whole calendar year, found, found, found. And then we ask the question, if that child comes to know Jesus, does it make an impact on the family? And the answer is, yeah. On average, another four family members also come to know Jesus because that child came to know Jesus. That means in under 1 minute, there's someone found, 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 found. And it's really one of the greatest evangelistic movements in the world to be part of because so many people are being found through this ministry. And I'm just inviting you, I'm welcoming you to just lean in a little bit closer to the heart of Jesus and just hear his heartbeat for the lost. The lost, the lost. And let's let our hearts just beat and sink with the heart of Jesus for people who don't know him. The second group of people that we want to touch on this morning that are close to the heart of Jesus are the least. And I'm going to ask you, we did so well on the first verse, we're going to read this one out loud together. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Are you guys ready? I'll take that as a yes. Okay, this is great. Okay, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. This is one of the most shocking passages in Scripture because Jesus is talking about how he comes at the end of time. And when he comes to make an evaluation of my life and your life. And when he looks at us, the basis of the measurement is, did we care for the least, the people that everyone cared about the least, the people that everyone looked at and said they have no potential, they will make no contribution, they don't really matter. And Jesus says in that passage, if we cared about the least of these, it's as though we're caring about him, because when we saw the least of these, unknowingly, we saw Jesus. And there's two groups of people in this passage. In one group, they both think they hadn't seen Jesus, but one group saw him in the least of these and they cared, and another group saw him in the least of these and they didn't care. And Jesus makes an evaluation on their lives on that basis. It's really amazing how close the least of these are to the heart of Jesus. The people that are in pain the most, that are threatened the most, that are the hungriest, that are the thirstiest on a day-by-day basis. I'll show you a picture in the next slide, and this is a man named Everett Swanson. And he was invited during the Korean War to preach to the Korean troops. And he was there, and it was a little bit colder, and he had his jacket over his arm. And along came a little boy, steals his coat off his arm, runs down the street, goes around the corner. He chases the little boy. He doesn't know why, but he wants to see what's going on. And he comes around the corner, and he sees there's his jacket on the ground, but there's a boy-shaped lump under the jacket. And he goes over there, and he peeks under, and there's that little boy who had grabbed that jacket just so he could stay warm enough to last another night. And he found out there was literally thousands and thousands of children who were just abandoned in the streets because it was war times, and these kids were just out trying to find enough food and at night covering themselves with rags and garbage to try and stay warm enough to last the night and huddling together. And he saw that every morning, sanitation workers, garbage workers really, would go out into the streets and they'd have flatbed trucks. And they'd come along to piles of garbage, and some piles of garbage they'd pick up and other piles they would just leave there. And he asked someone, what's going on? Like, why don't the garbage guys pick up all the garbage? And the local person said to him, actually, when they come along, they'll kick the pile first. And when they kick the pile, if there seems to be some movement under the pile, then they know that there's a little child who lasted one more day. And they'll just leave the pile of newspapers and rags there, and they'll leave the child under there. And if they come along to a pile and they kick the pile and there's no movement, they'll maybe check it again. And if there's no movement, they're scooping up the garbage and the child and throwing them on the flatbed truck and hauling them to the dump. Every day, just coming through the streets, and these kids are just getting tossed on the back of this truck. And this guy is flying home, and he's not okay with this. And he feels God speaking to him, and God is saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And he gathers some friends together, and they decide they're going to take care of these kids that are the least of these that are getting thrown away like trash. And that was the start of the ministry of Compassion International. Now there's over 2 million children around the world sponsored with Compassion. But that wasn't the end of the story in Korea, because the church became very powerful in the coming years in the nation of Korea. Probably a higher percentage of Christians in that nation than most nations in the world. And the economy became strong. And Compassion was able to leave the care of the least of these in the nation of Korea with the national church. But eventually they were able to come back and set up an office there where the Koreans were able to help the least of these and other nations. And so they invited Compassion back to set up an office again so that they could reach out to other nations. And the president of Compassion was there, and he was giving an amazing speech just like this one. I'm just checking to see who's awake. But he was giving a really good speech. And over on this side, there's a man who keeps on interrupting him and waving his arms and finally says, it looks like you have something to say, sir. And the man stands up and says, you don't need to tell us about Compassion. We are your children. And so he was one of those little boys who would have got hauled away like trash, but someone made an investment into him, and now he was a leader in his church and in his denomination. So he knew a lot about Compassion. And then all over the room, men and women began to stand up, and they began to say, I'm your daughter, I'm your son. All over the room, now Christian leaders in business and education and in the church, all the different parts of Korean society, stood up and said, we're your kids. We would have got tossed away. But someone looked at us and said we mattered and made an investment into us. And what God had done, when that nation was probably at its darkest point in history, this is the way I see it. I believe that God looked under those piles of garbage and he saw the least of these, and he said, I can literally turn this nation around through their lives. and people made an investment into them. And the reason why the nation of Korea turned around, it's quite well documented, was because those kids who came to Jesus and they were invested into, they were the ones that led the change and the transformation in the nation of Korea. It's so cool. And so let's allow our hearts to beat along with the heart of Jesus for the least. And let's look at the least of these, not through the eyes of pity, but let's look at the least of these and let's look at the potential that God has placed in their lives. I mean, isn't that a lot more exciting? I mean, I get really excited at the potential that God has inside of each of these that are the least of these. So if we lean in close to his heart, we hear his heart beating for the lost and the least, and we also hear his heart beating for the littlest. And I'll read these passages really briefly for you this morning. If I'm talking too fast, anyone who's looking at this online later, they can just slow it down. It's all good. Matthew chapter 19. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. Is anybody watching the NBA finals right now? Not one soul. Okay, well, I am. And they block each other out in the NBA, right? If there's a rebound, you want to block the other guy out. They get their big elbows out. Well, the disciples were doing this for the parents of small children when they wanted to get to Jesus. They're blocking them out, literally keeping them away because they want to get Jesus to the important people. And these parents with young kids are kind of annoying and they're wanting Jesus to bless their children. And Jesus has to say to his disciples, you actually have it. You're living in an opposite world right now. The opposite is true. The kingdom of heaven belongs to these little ones. I want you to look at these little ones through the eyes of the kingdom of heaven and the strategic place that they play in my kingdom. And your job as disciples, I want to make your mission really simple. And I love this because I used to be a lead pastor. I used to be an outreach pastor. I used to serve as an evangelist and do all these things. And I was always trying to communicate to people like, this is what our mission is. And Jesus makes it really simple in these verses. I love this. He says, our job is make the way as clear as possible so little people can come to Jesus. I love how simple that is because children from every nation and every culture are quite fascinated with and drawn to Jesus. And we just have to make the way as clear and easy for them to come forward, come to Jesus. And I love that because it's so simple and we can do that. And so disciples, you've got this whole thing turned upside down. I want you to know that little people are a big deal to me, Jesus says. And then we'll jump to the next verse. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck. And this is not a good Sunday school verse. You know, it'd be better for them if they were tossed into the lagoon with something heavy tied around them. And you read a verse like this and you say, well, that kind of messes with my picture of Jesus a little bit. And Jesus is communicating really clearly that the care and the protection and the well-being of little people really matters to him. Yeah? You kind of get that's a pretty clear in this passage. I appreciate this because growing up as a child, I was quite vulnerable in the family situation that I grew up in. And there was neglect and different things that happened. And I love that Jesus, he'll do something about the care and the well-being of children. And I love that his heart also beats for the littlest. Don't you love that about Jesus? I really love that about Jesus. So the last story I want to share with you is the story of Jonathan, and you'll see him in the next slide. He's got that nice Dominican smile and a nice Dominican beard, and we met him when he was in his 20s, serving with compassion, and just shared with us, he just has such a strong desire to see more and more children released from poverty by getting sponsored with compassion. The reason is that he needed that kind of intervention in his life. He was growing up in a poor neighborhood that felt like prison to him. Every generation, the same problems cycle through, and no one ever gets out of that neighborhood. Not only that, but his mom would send him out into the streets every day when he was 7 years old. Is anybody like in that range of, do we have anybody like age 6, 7, 8 and kind of that kind of range? Yeah? Yeah. So how old are you? Are you 6? You're 7? Yeah. So when Jonathan was big like you, he was sent out into the streets every day to sell little bags of juice. And his mom would say to him, Jonathan, you go sell these little bags of juice, and if you sell enough, then we'll be able to eat today. So he was a little salesman that had to go out into the streets every day so that their family could eat. And not only that, he was rejected by his father. Jonathan had been born as the result of a secret affair. So a man had a family and then had this secret, which is Jonathan, that his family didn't know about. And one day the family found out about Jonathan, and the father, was so angry, he was so upset, he came to Jonathan and he said, I never want to see you again, Jonathan. So he's rejected by his dad, he's living in poverty, he's walking home through that neighborhood. He gets home, he pulls out a letter from his compassion sponsor. And his sponsor just said really simple words. And this is great if you've ever sponsored a child. Sometimes we struggle with knowing what to say, but the sponsor just said these really simple words. Today I was thinking of all the things I'm grateful for, and I want you to know I'm grateful for you. And then little Jonathan just knew someone is grateful for me. I'm on someone's radar. Someone cares about who I am. And he goes to the compassion center and he hears every day, God is with you, and God can change your story, and God can change your neighborhood, and there's gifts inside of you that the world has never seen, and God's mixed them together in you. And so this little guy, he starts walking through the neighborhood in a different way. You can imagine this little 7-year-old guy, he starts walking through his neighborhood and he puffs out his chest like a bullfrog. And he has a fire in his eyes. And he starts walking through his neighborhood as a different little guy, thinking, God is with me. God can change my nation. And he's put something inside of me to bring to my nation. So fast forward, when we meet him, all of his friends are gathered around and they say, you have to meet Jonathan. We knew that there was something going on just by the way that they said it to us. And we went over to where Jonathan was, and they said, this is our friend Jonathan. And as we reached out to shake his hand, they said, this is Jonathan, and he is going to be the president of the Dominican Republic. And he's still holding on to my hands and still looking into my eyes, waiting to see what the reaction is. And I can't say anything. I can't think of words to say because I think at that time he was in his late 20s. And we knew a little bit of his story. And his friends say, maybe you didn't hear us. And we looked around the circle and all of his friends had that same fire in their eyes. And they said, our friend Jonathan is going to be the president of the Dominican Republic. And we couldn't say no, we couldn't disagree. And the wonderful thing is that all of his friends that were there, they were his campaign team. And he's running to be a senator in the year 2020. He may become one of the youngest senators ever in that nation. What he's felt is that he wants to be a Christian leader on a national level in the Dominican Republic to change things, to change policies so that other children can come out of poverty more easily than he did, other little boys and girls. And he wants to bring transformation where he goes. But none of that happens unless we rewind back to little Jonathan. And he just feels invisible. Sorry? But he knows that someone has seen him and made an investment into him and changes the way that he sees himself, and therefore the nation gets changed, right? And so let's allow our hearts to beat also for the littlest, and let's make that investment into the next generation. The reason why we love the Ministry of Compassion so much is that it allows us as a family to care for the lost, the least, and the littlest. So compassion works at the intersection of all of those groups. When you see the sponsorship forms, you know those kids are all of those things. They're the lost because over 80% of the children that come into the compassion centers are coming from non-Christian families. Over 80% of them that come in are coming from families that make less than $2 a day. And I want you to know that the situation is a lot more urgent now because of the pandemic. We know that millions of kids now, because of the pandemic, are moving from poverty over to extreme poverty. And the Ministry of Compassion has really had to adapt because now the main mission, at least in the short term, is just keep the kids and their families alive and get them food packs, medical packs, sanitation packs, access to medical care, make sure their rent is paid so that they don't become homeless and destitute, all those things. It's just, let's keep them alive during this season. So there's had to have been a bit of a shift that way. They are the lost, the least, and the littlest. And some people ask us what makes compassion different from other ministries. I'll share this really quickly, the four C's of compassion. First of all, compassion is child-focused. No, I said Christ-centered first. Christ-centered. So we know that when we introduce a child to Christ, then they know their value and they take their first and their biggest step towards coming out of poverty. Secondly, compassion is child-focused. We know that most children or most people come to know Jesus when they're younger, and there's a wonderful window of opportunity there. So everything that compassion has been doing is focused on developing and discipling and investing into children. Compassion is also church-based, which means that everything that compassion does stays in that community and is administered through the local church. So in 5 years, in 25 years, where is that ministry center? It's still there, based out of the local church. And they know the needs, they know the families intimately. And finally, compassion is committed to financial integrity and always gets ranked as one of the top charities in the world for financial integrity. So I'd like to just show this short video to you, and it gives you an opportunity to see the kind of impact that you have when you sponsor a child with compassion. So we'll go ahead and roll that if you're ready. Thanks.
In the Philippines, it's so smelly, very dark water. You can see trash, rats.
In a given week, we'll go at least for 3 days without food.
The friends that I played with in the neighborhood got captured and was being trained to become child soldiers.
We would beg our parents just to buy one apple, but even the rotten ones, we could not afford to buy.
In a period of 18 months, I lost my small brother Patrick, my mom, and I lost my stepdad because of the terrifying disease of HIV/AIDS.
When my mother died, I was lost. I was looking for hope, for God to just show me that everything was going to be okay.
I would be so jealous with other kids. I would feel that I don't really count.
Since God, you say you love us, why do you have to take so much from me? I don't know why Aaron Mitchell decided to sponsor me, but when he did, my whole life changed.
People from Compassion showed up at my church.
But they said, you're gonna go to school, and then somebody's going to write to you.
I don't have to worry about whether my parents would have enough money to keep me going to school long enough to become that educated person that I wanted to be.
We go to school, and it's usually like really good meal that we don't usually eat, and especially spaghetti and fried chicken.
I knew, like, even if I get sick, someone was there to take care of me.
I felt safe. I felt wanted.
My sponsor is Edwin Bunny.
Maria and Hanshru.
Aaron Mitchell.
Five women from a Lutheran church that were sponsoring me, that really invested in my life and changed my life.
I am now a physical therapist and I'm working in a hospital.
Today, I'm a clinical social worker.
I was the first child in my family to go to high school. I was the first child in my family to go to college.
I have a bachelor and a master in biomedical engineering, a second master in engineering management, and God called me into ministry, so I had to go and get a third master, a master of divinity.
In Kenya today, I have a ministry called Youth Arise Africa that works with boys who don't have father figures.
We opened a small school. It's now providing the same opportunity that Compassion provided to me, to close to 300 kids so that they too can break out of the cycle of poverty. Whatever you do for the least of these,
you do for me.
You did it for me.
You did for me.
Sponsor a child today to break the cycle of poverty in a child's life, like my sponsor did for me.
Thank you. Well, usually in our family, my wife is the one who cries in front of other people, so don't tell her about this. But I do get a little bit emotional because in some ways, by Canadian standards, I felt in my background and my testimony that I was the lost, the least, and the littlest, and I'm just so excited and so care so much about seeing more kids have opportunity. So we just want to give you an opportunity, an invitation to take a practical step and to sponsor a child with Compassion today. You're probably familiar with these sponsorship forms, and it just takes a moment to fill them out, but it changes that child's life for an eternity. And I also want to just let you know that you can do that over there. And when you sponsor a child with Compassion today, we also want to give you an opportunity online for those of you that are joining us. There's a couple of ways that you can do this. We have the physical forms here, or you can go to a website. I'll give you the link and we'll show it in the comments as well. It's just www.compassion.ca/ambassador/Rob Parkman, and then they'll be able to connect that to what happened here today. Or you can email me at robparkman@live.ca, and we'll get you hooked up with one of these children. But also wanted to mention that we'll get you a thank you gift. In fact, I'm thinking two thank you gifts today if you sponsor a child with Compassion. The first is this new album, which has just been released, and it's actually an artist that's my favorite songwriter of all time. She's really cute. That's my wife, Camille. So we can get you that as one of the thank you gifts. And the other is this book that's written by an author that isn't famous yet. It's me. That was supposed to be a joke, okay? It's a good try. So we want to just get you those as thank you gifts when you sponsor today. And I just want to bless you as a church and thank you for being a church that cares about the lost, the least, and the littlest. God's peace be with you. Amen.
Thanks, Rob. That's probably really loud online, so I apologize. So after service, we're going to sing a couple songs. And because the poor folks or the good folks that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, for whatever reason, doesn't want to connect with us this morning, so that's okay. But the people watching on Facebook didn't get to enjoy our songs with us this morning, so we're going to allow them to enjoy us for the last couple songs right now. So after service, we're going to allow you to go visit Rob over there, and then when we're done singing and we close in prayer, if you're done talking to Rob and you're ready to exit, we're just going to ask that you exit in orderly fashion out that door when the time comes that you're ready. But let's pray. God, we thank you for this ministry of Compassion, God. Father, I pray that we get opportunities to partner with you on ministries like this and to minister to the kids of the world that need a hand, that need a blessing, Father, like we've been blessed. So, God, I pray that this morning you have stirred some people's hearts, Father, and that they will either reach out and sponsor a child today, Father, or reach out online and connect with Rob, Father, and just give us an opportunity to reach these kids. in new and real ways. Thank you for this morning, God, and we just pray that we'll just be stirred and encouraged, not even just to reach out to kids in Compassion, but to reach out kids here in Rosetown or wherever we live. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to invite you to stand again, and we're just going to sing a couple more songs.